मानिदाम श्रसि जलाद्विज कांडके व्या
पीड़ा परावतिल चलौ सुसुतौ निषेधदुम
पीड़ा परावति चलाओ सुसुतौ निषेधदुम
गृहाणि कर्तुम अपि च त्र न तज्जनन्यौ
गृहाणि कर्तुम अपि च त्र न तज्जनन्यौ
सेकात् आपतुरलं मनसो नवस्ता
सेकात् आपतुरलं मनसो नवस्ता श्रृंगी
Singing.
With the cows.
With the cows.
Agni.
Agni.
Fire.
Fire.
Dumpstri.
Dumpstri.
Monkeys and dogs.
Monkeys and dogs.
So the cows are Shringis, they have horns. And the monkeys and dogs have teeth. Dumpstri. Asi.
Asi.
Swords.
Swords.
Jala.
Jala.
Water.
Water.
Dvija,
Dvija,
birds,
birds,
Kantakebya,
Kantakebya,
and thorns,
and thorns,
Krida parau ati chalau,
Krida parau ati chalau,
the babies being too restless,
the babies being too restless,
engaged in play,
engaged in
play, Swasutau,
Swasutau,
their own two sons,
their own two sons,
Nishedhum,
Nishedhum,
just to stop them,
just to stop them,
Grihyani,
Grihyani,
household duties,
household duties,
Kartumapi,
Kartumapi,
by executing,
by executing,
Yatra,
Yatra,
when,
when,
Na,
na,
not,
not,
Tadjananyao,
Tadjananyao,
their mothers,
their mothers,
Rohini and Ryoshoda,
Rohini and Ryoshoda,
Shekate,
Shekate,
Abel,
Abel,
Apatuhu,
Apatuhu,
obtained,
obtained,
Alam,
Alam,
indeed,
indeed,
Manasaha,
Manasaha,
of the mind,
of the mind,
Anavastam,
Anavastam,
equilibrium.
Equilibrium.
What form is Shekate?
It's it helps it underneath by the third person jewel.
Because it shuk becomes shake and it doesn't get reduplicated. And it's second person, third person dual.
Well,
and apatuhu is parasmaipada third person dual at Hokshija. Right? Apatuhu, yeah. Apt. Apt. Yeah, it becomes ap. Okay. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.
When Mother Yashoda and Rohini were unable to protect the babies from calamities threatened by horned cows, by fire, by animals with claws and teeth, such as monkeys, dogs, and cats, and by thorns, swords, and other weapons on the ground, they were always in anxiety. And their household engagements were disturbed. At that time, they were fully equipoised in the transcendental ecstasy, known as the distress of material affection. For this was aroused within their minds. The transcendental ecstasy, known as the distress of, I think that's maternal affection. Yeah, that's a mistake. The Prabhupada said maternal, and we put down material. Okay.
I was reading that recently and I couldn't understand.
Yeah, it's got to be maternal. Okay. Purport. Because what's the Sanskrit word? Anyway. Purport. All these pastimes of Krishna and the great enjoyment exhibited by the mothers are transcendental. Nothing about them is material. They are described in Brahma Samhita as Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. In the spiritual world, there is anxiety, there is crying, and there are other feelings similar to those of the material world. But because the reality of these feelings is in the transcendental world, of which this world is only an imitation, Mother Yashoda and Rohini enjoyed them transcendentally. This is Karnataka. They have these big grinding stones. They have an indentation on the kitchen sink. When I first moved into my apartment in Bangalore, I thought they were having dancing lessons upstairs. You know, from this noise. There was just somebody grinding rice for their idlis. Mm-hmm. You know, anyway. Okay, so all of Krishna's activities are transcendental. There's nothing material about any of them. And what is created by these activities is the pleasure of rasa. By what Krishna does for his devotees, by what the devotees do for Krishna, there is a mutual, that means between the devotees and Krishna, experience of transcendental pleasure. This is real life. We're living perverted, dim reflection of life. We're practically dead here in the material world. We're living shadow existences. Actually, the soul cannot fade away into a shadow. The ancient Greeks were mistaken. They thought when people die, they go to a place called Hades, where they reside as shadows. And gradually they get worn out and disappear. So, you know, therefore it's a very unhappy condition. Imagine you're gradually, over the years, just disappearing. And Krishna, if you've ever studied Bhagavad Gita or anything, if you've ever studied any real transcendental literature, we know the soul cannot fade away. But we're living a kind of shadow existence, living here in the material world, in the material conditions, material consciousness. We're not experiencing real happiness. Even our calamities, which can be very painful, our pleasure usually is very fickle, very petty. The pleasures of sense gratification are just like, you know, it's just agitation of the bag of flesh and agitation of the mind. And these are the things we get so-called pleasure from. Just a little bit of sensation in the midst of so much dullness and displeasure. We get a little bit of sensory pleasure or mental pleasure. We call that happiness. And then we get suffering. That is more tangible. You know, we're programmed to suffer. We have nerve fibers running through our bodies, and the brain is receiving the pain impulses coming from these nerves. All you need to do is let happen to you what Mother Yashoda and Rohini were worried about. Step on a thorn or get cut by a knife. And you'll feel the pain. That experience of pain is very intense. And material life is full of such pains. According to our karma, we may be constantly feeling terrible pains. You may have a horrible disease. Your back is bad. And therefore, you're constantly in pain. And it just never goes away. It just gets worse as you get older. Some people have unfortunate existences where they're full of pain, and it just gets worse and worse. Or it comes suddenly, unexpected, calamities, and agony and pain. Or most of us, we're experiencing small doses of pain, but plenty of it every day. Itches and sores and aches and agitations, mental disturbances, all the time. Our lives are full of pain, and that pain is real. In the sense that we can't just pretend it isn't there unless we're great yogis. And it's a very intense experience. But even that, ultimately, is just shadow experience. These relatively important sensations of pleasure and pain are just the experience of shadow life. Matra sparshasta kunteya. Shitoshna sukha dukha da. These are just the results of the material senses coming in contact with their inert objects. Shitoshna, and they give us experiences of pleasure and pain, of hot and cold. Even that is all relative. The same water at the same temperature will be very pleasant in the summer, cool water. You know, you're sweating and you're steaming, and if someone throws some cold water on you, you're grateful. That same water at the same temperature, in the middle of the winter, if someone throws it on you, you're furious and very undisturbed. Same exact temperature, but the experience is relative. You know, what's pleasure? What is pleasure or pain depends on your current condition. What is, you know, within a certain range, it's pleasure, and if it's too much or too little, it becomes pain. But that's not real life. Okay, we get plenty of sensations. You know, it's like a roller coaster, up and down. There's something happening every minute in material life. There's plenty to be excited about, to be disturbed by, to be in a fuss about. But it's all unreal. It's all just a shadow existence. We might as well just lose interest in it. It's because we're so interested in it, we're so fascinated by it, by our pleasures and pains. Some people are more fascinated by their pains. They live for pain. And they just meditate on their pains and troubles. And if they didn't have those pains and troubles, they wouldn't know what to do. Yeah. And other people are gluttons for sense gratification. They're looking for pleasure. But it's all fruitless, and it's not our real life. The real life is the life of enjoyment with Krishna in the center. Life focused on Krishna's pleasure pastimes. And it's not just for Krishna and a few friends. You know, it is an exclusive company, the association of Raja Dhamma. Materialists and demons may be allowed to physically enter Raja Dhamma on the earth. They are. This is one difference between Goloka and Gokula. The Vaikuntha, or the spirit in the spiritual world, Krishna's abode, and that spiritual world as manifested in the material world are really not different, but there's one difference. As pointed out by Srila Jiva Goswami in the Sandarbhas, one difference is that materialists and even demons are allowed to enter the abode Gokula on the earth. There isn't the same boundaries of Yogamaya that won't allow materialists or non-qualified people inside. But even materialists, even the Vaikuntha Vasis are not allowed inside Gokuloka. They generally are not much aware of its existence, what to speak of entering it. You know, entrance is not allowed to those who don't belong there. But on the earth, the same Goloka opens itself up. So the trains every day are passing through. People on the way to Bharatpur to see the birds, or to Gwalior to see the fort, or to Agra to see the Taj Mahal. They're passing through Raja Dhamma. And they may even get out at the Mathura train station and buy some beta, you know, or some else, and get back on the train. Feet may even touch the holy dung. And they may have no interest in it. They may not even be aware of where they are at all. There are, believe it or not, young people, educated young people, computer programmers and others, who don't know of the existence of Vrindavan 150 kilometers away. They don't even know it exists. Young educated people in Delhi. But they pass through it. On the train, flying over in their airplanes, or driving in their cars, they pass through the dump. And they're allowed entrance. Or their family goes to Vrindavan or Govardhan for yatra, for a daily trip. and they buy some rubbery and have a good time and take darshan and go home again. Yeah. People are allowed in. And then our devotees come and stay, build their houses, you know, and hang out at Bihari Lal's and have a good time in Vrindavan. It's allowed. Even the materialists. They're coming in, they're building their condominiums, developing businesses, exploiting the Dham for material purposes. And it's being allowed, it's being tolerated. Much more so in Vrindavan, which is more open than a place like Govardhan, where people are allowed to come and do their parakram and get out. You know, only now they're starting to build condominiums. So we'll see who actually will be allowed to stay in these houses. They haven't been occupied yet. We'll see how Yogamaya is changing her ways or not. Generally, up to now, she hasn't allowed outsiders to stay in Govardhan. But the materialists are allowed in, even the demons. But they can't participate in Krishna's pastimes. There's a story, I guess, Garga Samhita or somewhere, about Kamsa wanting, after sending all these demons, and every one of them failed to kill Krishna, instead got killed himself. Kamsa says that, okay, I'm going to go myself. And there's the Parikram mark, total 40-kilometer Parikram around both Vrindavan and Mathura city. And there's a path along the Jamuna that goes to Mathura city, about 12, 13 kilometers long, part of that Parikram mark. Once a year, it's a tradition, once a year, the Vrijbasi, the Vrindavan dwellers, follow this path to Mathura and do their yatra to Mathura and back. And then I think a few weeks later, the Mathura Vasis come to Vrindavan on that path and go back. So Kamsa once came on the road, the Parikram mark, and tried to enter Vraja himself. And at the border, if you follow the Vrindavan Parikram mark, where it turns around at the bottom and starts heading back toward the Mathura road, right at that corner is a spot where I think Yogamaya and maybe Vrindadevi met Kamsa at the border. He stepped right inside Vraja, but they met him right away. He disguised himself as a cowherd, a lady, so nobody knew who he was, as a cowherd lady. But they caught him right away. They spotted him, and they said, "Oh, you know, we never saw you before. You know, can you help us? We got a lot of cow dung to make patties out of. You know, can you just help us for a little bit?" And so Kamsa was sat down to make gover patties. And they kept him busy for several hours. And his hands got dirty and he really got fatigued. And that was enough for him. They just kept him piling on the gover. And he just never finished. And he finally, by the afternoon, he just quit and went home. You know, that was his encounter with Raja. He wasn't allowed to really get in. He wasn't allowed to actually come in and do any trouble. Generally, Yogamaya keeps the materialists from actually participating in Krishna's Leela. Of course, we have demons like Kamsa and all the others that he sent, Putana, Trinavarta, Shakatasura, and all the others after them. In a real sense, they were participating in Krishna's pastimes, but they don't share the experience of rasa. The demons who come and fight with Krishna and get killed by him, they're not allowed to experience the transcendental taste. They are not ashrayas of bhakti rasa. Ashraya means the devotee who's sharing the experience with Krishna. Krishna is experiencing as the vishaya. Generally, he's the vishaya. He's the object of love. And the devotee is the subject of love, the lover. And Krishna is the object of love. And that's the usual position, although it's sometimes reversed. But when a demon comes, yes, Krishna fights with him and has his fun. But the demon doesn't taste, he's not the ashraya, he's not experiencing the rasa. Because he's a demon. He has an envious attitude and therefore he's not allowed to experience rasa. So he participates in the externally in the pastime, but he doesn't participate in the rasa. That is only allowed for the non-envious pure devotees. That is what Yashoda and Rohini are experiencing. This apparent anxiety, this maternal affection, this imitation of material affection, is only pleasure. How otherwise could these two statements fit together? First of all, that they were always in anxiety, and their household engagements were disturbed. And next sentence, at that time they were fully equipoised in the transcendental ecstasy. How is that? Unless the apparent anxiety is only apparent, or it's something spiritual, it's a special ecstasy. To be worried for Krishna as his mother or father is a special ecstasy that's only allowed to a few special devotees. But it's not only for Hare Krishna. It's not this pleasure of bhakti rasa, of raja prema, is not only for the few who directly participate. The nitya siddha bhaktas, the eternal residents, Krishna's associates, who are the ragatmaka bhaktas, who are directly participating in Krishna's pastimes. It's not only those few who get to share the rasa. The demons come and they participate, but they can't taste the rasa, the pleasure. But devotees everywhere, whoever hears, chants about, and remembers these pastimes with full faith and attention, no matter where they are, in heaven or in hell, or here or there, anywhere, they also share the rasa. This rasa is available to anyone who has pure devotion for Krishna, who has real attraction. So that's the liberality of Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. Although it's so exclusive that outsiders are not even allowed to get near it, are not even allowed to enter the place where it's happening. Still, anyone, even if we're not allowed. So Uddhava did visit Vrindavan, but he wanted to become a servant of the gopis. And he didn't think that in this life he could participate in their, directly in their pastimes. He's not going to be able to go into some lake and transform himself into a gopi. That wasn't given. That privilege was not given to Uddhava. So, Tadburi Bhagam? Is that Uddhava or Brahmas? There's two different prayers that are similar. But Janma Latau Shadinam. Kimapi Janma. Let me have any birth in my future lives. I don't think I can achieve this in this life. Uddhava is a very smart person. He knows what's achievable and what's not. He's a clever political advisor, a diplomat. And a diplomat has to know what's doable and what's undoable. You're dealing with governments and big armies and whole populations. You have to know, to be a successful advisor, minister, you have to know what can be done and what can't be done. Be practical. If you're coming up with impractical ideas, let's make a colony on the moon or a staircase to heaven or some ridiculous idea that can't really be carried out, then you're useless as an advisor to a king. You have to be practical. You have to be able to suggest things that can actually be done. So Uddhava, being a practical man, knew there's no hope that I'm going to be able to join in the Rasa Leela or become a gopi. Not in this life. Nor in my future lives. I don't have that privilege. That is for very special devotees, and I'm not that special, Uddhava's thinking. And he's right. He's practical. He knows what can be achieved and what can't be achieved. So he's praying instead, let me take birth in my future lives. Forget about this life. I've already made a mess of this life. Yeah, of course, he's Krishna's friend in Dwarka. But as far as entering Vrajadhami, because he's so attached to Dwarka, He's so established in Dwarka, he has to go back to work. You know, he can't stay in Vrindavan. He stayed for 2 months. Then he's got to go, vacation's over, he's got to go back to work in Dwarka. So, in this lifetime, he's not going to be able to enter Vrindavan. But in my next life, he prays, let me take birth as a bush or grass here, so that, what is it? I think he wants not even the gopis to step on his head, but that the aborigine ladies, the outcast ladies who live on the outskirts of Raja, that they step on my head. I think that's how it goes. Because when they're out in the woods looking for sticks and whatever they're looking for there, these aborigine ladies come to the places where Krishna enjoyed with the gopis, and they see the kumkuma on the bushes, and they smear it on their breasts, and it falls on, and some of it falls on their feet. So if you get your head stepped on by these aborigine ladies, you get some of that kumkuma from the head. So Uddhava said, let me take a birth as a bush or a blade of grass somewhere on the outskirts of Vrindavan so that I can have this great fortune. I'll be blessed by the dust from the feet of the gopis, and that will be my success in my future life. Let me just become, in other words, he says in another verse, so does Brahma, let me just become a servant of the gopis of Vrindavan. Then I'll be able to enter into this Raja Rasa. I don't have to barge in, you know, set up camp at Radhakunda. Uddhava never did. He never barged into the Rasa dance. You know, here I am, you know. Now where's my spot? He never barged in. He never even came to Radhakunda, I don't think. He came close. And in fact, at the end of Krishna's Leela, he told Uddhava, I'm sorry, I'm taking all my devotees back, but you have to stay here. You have to stay in the material world for some time, because you have to be my messenger. Even though all the other associates, eternal associates, are coming back with me to their respective abodes. But Uddhava, I have some further work for you. Please, you go take my message to the sages at Badrinath, because I didn't get a chance to visit them in all these 125 years. So I'm sending my apologies and explanation in this, and some instructions in my letter. Uddhava, you go to them, and you enliven them, by telling them about my pastimes. So you go there for some time, for a few years, or months. So Uddhava carried out that, although with great suffering in his heart, he tolerated Krishna's separation, and went to Badrinath and carried out his instruction after Krishna's disappearance. It is Prakriti form. Uddhava went to Badrinath, and after that, he returned to Dwarka in Vaikuntha. But in his aprakriti form, he went, got back into Vraja and set up his camp at Kusuma Sarovara, in the bushes. He didn't even have to wait till the next life. In this life, but in his invisible form, Uddhava took up his eternal residence, not at Radhakunda, not at the site of the Rasa dance, but a little bit away, a kilometer and a half away, at Hare Krishna, at Kusuma Sarovara, the place where the gopis come every day to pick flowers, supposedly for worshipping Suryadev, but actually they're going to take them and go to Radhakunda and meet Krishna. This is Uddhava's perfection. Not to try artificially to set up camp at Radhakunda and barge into the Rasa dance, you know, uninvited. So many devotees try that, and they end up getting a one-way ticket back to wherever they came from. You know, they hang around for a little while, commit offenses, and they're kicked out. They end up back in whatever place they came from, some other country. One after another. They don't learn. It happens over and over again, but then nobody learns their lesson. There's always another crew. Next week, there's another crew of so-called sadhakas who are so, thinking that they're going to be able to take up eternal residence in Radhakund prematurely without being invited to do so. Uddhava and Narada don't dare to do that. They have their camps outside of Radhakunda. And then Uddhava got his chance to intensify his remembrance of Krishna and help the queens of Krishna after Krishna's disappearance, when they had been brought by Arjuna from Dwarka and then kidnapped by Krishna himself. They ended up in Mathura, the queens of Krishna, and were put, they were brought by Vajranaba and Parikshit to Kusuma Sarovar. And so the 16,000 queens of Krishna were staying there. And this is told in the Bhagavat Mahatmyam of the Skanda Purana, Vaishnava Kanda, these four chapters, that the queens were very sad in having lost Krishna recently, except for Kalindi. She seemed to be in good spirits. And so the other queens inquired from him, how come we're all suffering and you don't seem to be suffering? Have you got some special relationship with Krishna that we don't have? And she just, because Kalindi is an eternal resident of both Dwarka and Vrindavan, so she is a little different. She's Yamuna River herself. And so therefore she always has Krishna's eternal association. Therefore she wasn't feeling the same exact kind of separation as the other queens. And she said, what we have to do to free ourselves of this pain of separation is hear and chant about Krishna's pastimes. Remember. So Parikshit, in order to help the queens, Parikshit and Vajranaba, they approached the sage, which one? Sage, who instructed them, you have to help the queens by conducting the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. And since you're here at Kusuma Sarovar, the person to conduct this hearing and chanting of Bhagavatam, the right person for that is Uddhava. He resides here eternally, although he's hiding in the bushes. And the sage told them, I know how you can get him to come out in the open. You just conduct a big Sankirtan festival. You know, chant, sing, and Uddhava, his name means festival. So when there's a Sankirtan festival going on, he can't help but appear. And that happened. The two kings, Vajranaba and the 16,000 queens, they had a wonderful kirtan and held a festival, and Uddhava came out of the bushes and agreed on their request to recite the Bhagavatam for the queens. 1 month he recited Bhagavatam there. And they all transcended their grief and were able to fully concentrate themselves in remembrance of Krishna and go back to their abodes. These are devotees who don't belong in Vraja. These are the queens of Dwarka. We read this morning how they met the gopis at Kurukshetra. But the queens don't have generally the privilege to be residing in Vrajadham. But like us, even though we're not privileged, not yet, to directly join Krishna's pastimes, we have the opportunity to hear and chant Krishna's glories as they're described by great devotees like Uddhava and Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is the way we also can taste this transcendental rasa. We just have to purify ourselves of the contamination of our bad thoughts and bad behavior. Purify our hearts and correct our behavior. And then we'll be able to fully taste this nectar. Bibhita Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam Muhurdaho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavuka. We should go on enjoying the pleasure, the rasa, that can be imbibed just by hearing Bhagavatam. This is bhakti rasa, the same rasa That is the essence of directly participating in Krishna's pastimes. That we can share just by our hearing and chanting. But we have to become rasikas and bhavukas. We have to become qualified, competent to taste these transcendental rasas. You have to be a connoisseur. You have to learn the art and gain the privilege of being able to and allowed to taste these transcendental ecstasies. And bhavuka is a person who is just obsessed. You know, it sometimes means madman, bhavuka. Someone who's just emotionally unstable is a bhavuka. He's just crazy about something. And, you know, therefore he's unreliable. Can't trust him to do anything practical because he's just so obsessed in whatever his addiction is. His bhavuka. These sentimental devotees who have no practical bone in their bodies. Always singing and dancing, and they're useless for anything practical. So this is the idea, general idea of what a bhavuka is. We have to become like that. We have to become transcendental madmen. So obsessed with Krishna, we don't care about anything else. Then we can taste the rasa. Uhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavuka. Even though we're living on the earth, and we may not be allowed to come to or stay in Vrajadhamma, we're living somewhere else on the face of the earth. But if we become enjoyers of this rasa, then it's non-different. Then we're being trained up to directly, gradually be allowed someday to join Krishna's pastimes. Hare Krishna. Okay, so any questions or comments? Yes, bro.
Yes, thank you very much. It's interesting how you tell the story of Kushum Sarovara, because the day before I left, I went and visited my friend. He's from Vancouver. He's the pujari of that temple where Uddhava is reciting Srimad Bhagavatam.
I see. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes.
And it was just very interesting because I didn't know the story, and now you said the story.
I mean, yeah. I'm just telling this story that everyone's heard. Maybe
he said Uddhava is the personification of Krishna's lila.
He said, his name means festival. I don't know about it being
the personification.
Personification of Krishna's lila.
It says it was from the Bhagavatam Mahamaya.
I translated that. It doesn't exactly say that. Yeah.
Okay.
His name means festivity, so he's like festival personified.
And
Festival.
He was reciting the Bhagavatam to the queens of Dwarka.
Yes.
But that cannot be the same Bhagavatam that Vyasadeva compiled. Because it seems...
No, it is. It was. He just added some purports. Bhagavatam is explained later in the Bhagavad Mahapurana. You can recite the Bhagavatam in 7 days, or you can do it in 1 month, or you can do it in 1 year. Lord Shiva, I think, recites to his wife for 1 year. And then the next year, she recites to him. They take turns. So you can do Bhagavatam in 1 week, or you can elaborate on it, add purports, and make it a month-long Bhagavatam recital. Or you can make it a year-long. We're doing one chapter a day, right? We're doing a one-year recital.
Wasn't the recitation of Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Pariksit
in 7 days?
That was 7 days, but that was after this pastime?
Yes. Just before the recitation started. Pariksit was involved in trying to organize the festival for Vajranabha and the sage who instructed them. But then Vajranabha told him, "I'm sorry. You have some. We have to send you on some business. We heard. We just found out Kali has invaded your kingdom, so you have to go home and defeat Kali." So Pariksit, "I'm sorry, you won't be here for the festival. We got another engagement for you." So he was not allowed to hear that recital, but Vajranava promised him, "Don't worry, you'll get a chance to hear the Bhagavatam, even better recital directly from Shukadeva Goswami very soon."
So
that happened later then, but the Bhagavatam's eternal.
It's eternal. So after
those 18,000 verses are the Bhagavatam. That's the actual Bhagavatam.
Those 18,000 verses
are the Bhagavatam. But Uddhava can take a month and add his own realizations, his purports, and make it a monthly cycle. You know, do a verse, you know, how many verses, you count, chop it up into how many verses a day for 1 month, and say something about each verse. Just like we have a class, we read the verse and we give a class. So Uddhava gave his class, and the whole thing lasted 1 month.
So it's 18,000 verses at the same time. It's unlimited. It's eternal, and it seems to have been compiled at some point.
It manifested from the mouth of Vyasadeva, and then manifested again from the mouth of Shukadeva, and Sukha Goswami recited it again. But that's just manifestation. It's actually eternal, in the 18,000 verse form. You can make it bigger by adding commentary, by adding purport.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
My two questions. The first is that people say that the Rajoguni Bhagavatam is in 7 days and Sattvaguni Bhagavatam is in 1 month.
Who said that?
Gitanjali one day he was...
I don't know if he's got that right. The Bhagavat Mahatmya, Skanda Purana, says that you can recite in the three modes, or transcendentally. But it wasn't that according to how long it is. Maybe this comes from somewhere else, but the Skanda Purana, Bhagavat Mahatmya, says if you conduct it carelessly and you actually wanted to hurt somebody, then that's tamasic. If you just make a big show and you're trying to impress people and maybe collect money, that's rajasic. You've seen that. Bhagavat Sapta, big show, and it's actually to make money. That's rajasic. And if you do it simply and peacefully and you're concentrating on hearing and chanting, that's sattvic. And then if you have love of God and you're just rolling in ecstasy, that's transcendental. So it depends on the style and the attitude. But it does, according to that Bhagavad Mahatmya, it's not how long you do it that makes it sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic. Okay, he may have mixed that up, or maybe he got the information from somewhere else.
He wrote an article, big article, 5 pages. He showed me when he was taking class in Delhi, Atyantik Pralaya, the 4 types of the Pralaya, and those person who does not want the Atyantik Pralaya. So the Lord, he performed the Bhagavatam for 1 month.
Uh-huh.
So it was the Sattvic Bhagavatam.
Yes.
And so the question arises that Sukadeva Goswami, he performed 7 days. So it was Rajasic.
Well, again, I you have to show me where that explanation comes from. Because I didn't, that's not what the Bhagavat Mahatmya and the Skanda Purana says. So show me the Shastra where that information comes from. Otherwise I can't comment on it. You know, I it's not what I was read that a 7 day Bhagavat recital is rajasic. You know, but you can show me what Shastra that actually comes from. Or whose article that is that he read, you know. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote it in an article, I'll accept it, but we have to see who said it and where it comes from.
The second question.
Yeah.
That Lord says, Tanahan Dosata Kruran Samsareso Naradhaman Kipam Ambosan Asubhat Asura Swayavajaniso.
Yes.
So the Lord kick out those who are demons. But how the Lord deliver them? Yes. When they feel some...
Well, some very favorable demons, very fortunate demons, get directly saved by Krishna. Only a few. They have some attraction to him. You know, interest in him. And therefore he reciprocates. These are special demons. But the majority of the world's population are demons who don't care about Krishna. And Krishna reciprocates. Just leaves them in ignorance. Ajastra. Some people understand that to mean forever. But we don't think that, our philosophy is not that demons go to hell or become animals forever. No, a long time. Thousands of lifetimes. Hundreds or thousands of lifetimes. They're in ignorance. But then they get human form of life again. And they get some... If they're smart, they'll take advantage of the opportunity and hear about, and chant about Krishna. But they may have to wait thousands of lifetimes to get that chance. So it's not that Krishna means to save everybody, but some living entities are going to have to stay in this world for thousands of lifetimes before they get saved. That's the way Krishna has arranged it. Yes, sir?
Question about meeting in Kurukshetra. Dvaraka, Queens of Dvaraka meeting gopis.
Yes.
And then I was trying to understand because in Lalita Madhava, Vidarbha Madhava, in Rupa Goswami, as it describes, as if the Queens of Dvaraka are the self-same gopis, Satya Brahmas, Radharani, Radharani's Rukmini, so Then they meet each other at
Kurukshetra. I'm sorry, this is from Lalita Madhava.
Yeah.
I have it on my shelf, I haven't started reading it yet. So I can't explain it. I'm also wondering, but I hope that this will be explained as I read the book. Yeah. There's a commentary. I don't know I'm not even sure who wrote the commentary, I'll look at it. And maybe this is revealed, explained, but I can't answer how, if the gopis themselves became the queens, how they met themselves. I don't know.
Can we like Krishna meet Mahavishnu and with Arjuna?
Yeah, maybe the queens are actually expansions of the gopis, actually. That's the Siddhanta, that's the Tattva. So we have pastime of the pastime of the gopis becoming the queens, but actually it's as their own expansions. So the expansion can be present and the original can be present in the same place and meet each other. Just like Mahavishnu met Krishna and Balaram. Krishna and Arjuna. Yeah. You can say, wait, I mean, Krishna is Mahavishnu. How can he meet himself? But in his expansion, he can meet himself. Okay. Yes.
The Lord gave Brahmaji Chaturshlok Bhagavatam.
Yes.
So that the four verses were expanded by Narada Muni.
Yes.
That will explain later.
Yes.
So, is it the Bhagavatam of 18,000 verses is original?
It's original, it's eternal.
I heard from some sources that not all the 18,000 verses are available.
Not all 18,000 verses are available.
Relevant.
Are not which?
Maybe if available.
Available, he says. Yes.
Maybe some verses
are missing.
Are missing. Not missing, exactly, but they're not present.
Well, see, we have to go by what Srila Jiva Goswami tells us in the Tattva Sandarbha. He has his opinion about it, and we accept his opinion. He says, the Bhagavatam as we have it. You know, it's not like Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami said, the Bhagavatam is eternal, 18,000 verses. What Shukadeva spoke to Vyasadeva is the whole thing. He spoke the whole Bhagavatam, and it was complete. Jiva Goswami, when he says that, he doesn't say, but what we have now, something's missing, some parts are missing. He doesn't say that. So it's not Jiva Goswami's opinion that some parts are missing. This question arises because we have trouble trying to count the shlokas. It doesn't seem to count up to 18,000 shlokas. There's some technicality. We haven't figured it out, but some reason we're not counting them right. Yeah.
And Chaturshlok Bhagavatam. So how is that compared to the entire text?
The first and eternal is the 18,000 shlokas. The four shlokas is an abridged version. The abridged version comes after. First you write the whole book, and then you write a one-paragraph summary for advertising, you know, so that they can put in the magazine. This book is about this and this, you know, one paragraph. So that summary was written after, was spoken by Narayan. But the original Bhagavatam existed first.
Narada Muni, he recited Mahabharata here. And in the heavens, in the kingdom of Indra, he expanded the same thing into many lakhs. It's here 1 lakh verses.
And Shukadev spoke to the Gandharvas, he spoke to 20 lakhs. Shukadev, to the Gandharvas, Mahabharata. This is stated in Mahabharata. In the Adi, in the first chapter, second chapter of the Adi Parva. Yes. So Mahabharata exists in different forms.
But the original text is 1 lakh verses?
That was spoken by Vaishampayana. I don't know which one is original. The one we have, spoken by Vaishampayana, mentions the other ones. So I don't know whether they all exist simultaneously, which one is the real one, or whether they all are real. Okay. Yes. Yes, Prabhu.
About Prince Varaka.
Yes.
When we were in Varaka, when we were visiting, we were told in a place when Rukmini was staying, there is some temple, that there is one spot when even the devotee is coming and taking Gopi Chanda.
Yes.
That, I don't know if all, but almost all queens, they left Varaka is dead. Like, is there any...
In Varaka or...
In Varaka.
I don't know. They would have had to go back to Dwarka from Kusuma Sarovar. I don't know where they went after Kusuma Sarovar.
They went body and dead body is Gopichanda.
Right, but the problem is, did they really go all the way back to Dwarka? After all the trouble getting going all the way east, and they went back again? I don't know. I don't know if there's any record of that, or maybe this is a story that was made up. Maybe, I don't know.
They said that is Gopitava.
Yes, but sometimes they just make up a story so they can sell their tilak. I don't know. Yes.
So then we know that the queen got kidnapped when Arjuna was also trying to bring them to
from Dwarka. He was taken from Dwarka, and they ended up, those queens who were kidnapped, somehow they ended up under the care of Parikshit, and he brought them to Kusuma Sarovar.
Well, how did they end up with
it? I don't know. I don't know the whole story.
I'm sure it can be some of them.
Well, okay, but all of the queens were there at Kusuma Sarovar, at least at that time. And then something happened afterwards, I don't know what. I just don't know the history. Yes. Yes. Oh, where does it say that?
Nityasiddha and Sadhansiddha.
But where does it say that Rasadev and Devaki are not Nityasiddha? Where does it say that they're not? That Devaki and Vasudeva are not?
I think I was reading something like that recently.
What is the difference between Nityasiddha and Sadhansiddha?
Well, it just means if someone is living in the material world as a conditioned soul and then becomes perfect. But once he becomes perfect again, then there's no difference. It's not like, you know, you've got an S stamped on your forehead to say you're inferior because you're a sadhaka. You know, what you're allowed to join with everybody else, and there's no difference anymore, no matter what your past was. You know, so I was a hippie in New York, you know, smoking marijuana. So, but that doesn't, you know, nobody's blaming me for that. Now I'm just, bhakta with everybody else. You know, it doesn't matter what my ugly background was. So like that, sadhana siddhas are accepted as good as everybody else, as the rest of them. Once you become perfect, there's no difference anymore. And I don't know about Vasudeva and Devaki or sadhana siddhas, I don't know. Yes?
Same question extended.
Yes.
So we hear from Bhagavatam that the Devakians, Vasudeva,
yes,
did tapasya for three lifetimes. And that is the cause of Krishna.
Yes, they did tapasya. They did sadhana.
Sadhana.
But were they actually conditioned souls, or is that just the pastime?
It apparently looks...
Apparently, like, yeah. But maybe they were eternal associates and they just... As their lila, they did the sadhana. So I'm not sure. If Prabhupada says they were sadhakas, okay. You know, if they were conditioned souls. But I don't know if they were ever conditioned souls. Yes, they did sadhana. And so they're sadhakas because they did sadhana. But the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his eternal associates, also did sadhana. Sanatana Rupa Goswami, you know, chanted 2 lakhs a day and did parikram every day. That's their sadhana. But still they're eternal associates. The eternal associates do sadhana as their lila.
I have a purport here that speaks about
please,
that.
Please read it.
Because whenever Krishna appears on this earth, he superficially needs a father and mother. Jona and Dara, this is Nandan and Yasoda in the previous life, his eternal father and mother appeared on earth before Krishna as Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda. In contrast to Sutapa, in Prishni Garba, who were Devaki and Nanda, Devaki and Vasudeva in the previous life, they did not undergo severe penances and austerities to become the father and mother of Krishna. This is the difference between Nitya Siddha and Sadhana Siddha.
Mm. Okay. Dara and what's her name?
Drona
and Dara, who later became Nanda and Yashoda, they didn't have to do austerities, whereas Sutapa and Trishni did great austerities.
Yeah, and this is
okay, but still, it doesn't mean that Sutapa and Trishni were not eternal associates.
Yeah.
They did severe austerities, but it still could have been their lila. It doesn't mean that they were conditioned souls necessarily. Yes, they did sadhana, and Dara and Drona didn't have to do sadhana, not the same kind of sadhana.
Because it says somewhere else, I think previously, that...
Yeah, Drona was a great vasu, 7 or 8 vasus in previous
life. Yes. But is he not an eternal associate of the Lord? I'm sorry, I mean, Vasudev is not an eternal associate of the Lord? I don't know.
Sadhana, siddha.
Anyway, it's...
It says... Nara, they did also great austerities, but we cannot...
Their incarnations. Okay, I'm just saying, I'm not saying they are and they aren't, but they could be eternal associates and still do severe austerities. And another eternal associate can get away with not doing any austerities. It's all individual. So it's hard to tell.
Unless
we're told by Shastra, by Guru, so-and-so is eternal associate, so-and-so isn't, then we can't tell.
In this pastime, it seems that... Krishnagarbha and what's the other name?
Sutapa.
And Sutapa became the father and mother of Krishna by sadhana siddha. That's what's mentioned in the purport.
Okay.
That's what it says. It says
they did sadhana, but they could have been siddha before.
Yeah.
This is the point that I'm saying could. But they could have already been siddha.
But
siddhas can also do sadhana. There's not. I'm sorry, you can't do sadhana because you're siddha already. You know, it's not like that.
But there's an earlier purport that says that before Krishna's appearance, Drona and Dara appear in order to become his father and mother.
Yes.
It is they who appear as Nanda Maharaj and his wife Yashoda.
Yes.
In other words, it is not possible for a sadhana siddha, living being, to become the father and mother of Krishna, or for Krishna's father and mother are already designated. But by following the principles exhibited by Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and their associates, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, ordinary living beings, may attain such affection as exhibited by Nanda and Yashoda.
Yes.
Do you mind elaborating on
this? That's a whole other class.
Yeah, but it's coming up anyway.
Okay.
Well,
that's the difference between Raghatmika Bhakta and Raghunuga Bhakta, that there are the eternal associates, and there's the rest of us who are not eternal associates. We're unfortunate souls who have fallen into material condition of life, and we've forgotten Krishna. But such unfortunate conditioned souls can revive their Krishna consciousness, especially if they remember and follow in the footsteps of the eternal associates. And they can attain a similar relationship, you know, in the same mood, but you can't become directly Krishna's father and mother because that position is already filled by eternal associates. So we don't aspire to become Nanda and Yashoda. We aspire to become servants of Nanda and Yashoda. We can't hope that, like, Bali Maharaj is going to kick out, you know, Indra and become the next Indra. We can't kick out, Mother Yashoda and become the next Mother Yashoda. That's not allowed. We can become her servant, but not her competitor. Yes.
Even conversation. One devotee asks Prabhupada, can we attain the same status as that of gopis of Vrindavan?
Yes.
Then it was their argument that whether they can become siddhas, nitya siddhas as gopis.
Yes.
Then Prabhupada said, if you cannot, then what is the point in doing all this sadhana?
Yes, you can. You can. You can't become one of the. We can't become one of the principal gopis. But there's lots of room for extra gopis. You know.
Can you please apply this to become parent of Krishna?
It can't become. Well, I mean, if you've... Normally, his leelas are all filled up. His parents are already there. I mean, if you're really exceptional devotee, maybe Krishna will make a special incarnation and let you become his parent. You know, or just like somebody has great devotees like who worship his deity as if it was his son. And the deity did the Shraddha for him when he died? Who is that? So, you know, even your deity who you're worshiping can become your son. So you can have that relationship. Some special arrangement can be made. But you can't become directly Nanda and or Yashoda. That you can't do. They're eternal, and they're, you know, you cannot take their position away. You can become some other father or mother of Krishna.
Because they're discrete identities.
They're eternal.
Individuals.
They're individuals, and they're eternal individuals. They're not going to go away. They're always going to be there in that relationship. So that position isn't going to be available for you or anybody else. You have to find some other position in Vatsalya Rasa. And something can be arranged. You can have a nice Vatsalya relationship if you really want that. But you'll have to take some other position, some other, you know, some other situation. Or just on, you know, as a servant, as an assistant to Nanda or Yashoda. Yeah.
This is very timely because I've just been reading this section and I've had all these questions.
Okay, but now it's getting late. Yes. Maybe we just one more, and then we'll just continue this.
Anitya Siddha is one who is eternally Krishna's associate, an expansion of Krishna's personal body. Whereas a sadhana siddha is an ordinary human being who, by executing pious activities and following regulative principles of devotional service, also comes to that stage. Also comes to the stage of becoming an expansion of Krishna's personal body.
Yes. Well, it doesn't. I mean, this is deep stuff.
Yeah.
And it takes time to explain it.
Yes.
But maybe I'm not the one who can explain it right. But a jiva is always a jiva. You're not going to become not a jiva. You become, you know, directly internal potency. You're not jiva tattva anymore. It doesn't become like that. You're still a jiva, but you're perfectly situated in your eternal relationship with Krishna. And in that way, you become directly connected with Krishna, and you can say, Prabhupada says, you know, expansion of his body. It doesn't mean you change what you are. You're still a jiva, but a jiva who's perfectly situated in his rasa. Some devotees argue that Krishna's parents, is it Nanda and Yashoda, are not jivas, because Prabhupada said that. But when you look at what Prabhupada actually said, they're not ordinary jivas. Not that they're not jivas at all. You know, they're jivas. They're finite living beings. But they're not ordinary finite living beings.
Nitya siddhas and sadhana siddhas are...
They're all jivas. Yeah.
It means the coward boys are the jivas?
Yes, coward boys are also jivas, most of them. Yes, these are jivas. These are positions filled by mostly by jivas. Some of the gopis are not jivas. Principal gopis are shakti tattvas. I don't know about coward. What would they be? Vishnu? Some of the coward boys are actually Vishnu?
Some of the coward boys are
extensions
of the gopis.
Okay, well, maybe you can explain that when you give class.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, that's just... That's
everything is expanding from Radharani.
Yeah. Okay. This is
anyway.
Over my head. Coward boys are also, you know, some of the, I can say everything is expansion. Okay, but there's a special way in which some coward boys, or all of them?
The principal.
Principal coward boys are expansion of Radharani. Okay. I don't know if that means they're not jivas, and maybe we can figure this out some other time. I mean, I'm not ready to answer that. You know, even have to look and study what's said. In Balabha Sampradaya, their idea is that the coward boys at night they turn into the gopis. Mm-hmm. You know, they go off to Nirubana, and in the sunset they turn into gopis. But I don't think we accept that.
When Krishna expanded himself, that cowherd boy general,
yes.
Calves, so we cannot consider that time that...
No, but that was just temporary. The real cowherd boys were there. Every one of those cowherd boys had his original hiding, you know, sleeping in the cave.
Oh.
So the jivas are there. They're the actual cowherd boys, and Krishna was the imitation.
Yeah.
He fooled their mothers. The mothers thought that these were their sons, but their sons were sleeping in the cave.
So also so they have the some power for expanding.
Great devotees can be empowered by Krishna to expand themselves and be present in different abodes. The same devotees can have their expansions. The devotees who are in Vrindavan, they can have their expansions in Vaikuntha, in Swargaloka, and on the earth. So there's Dara and Drona. They're actually expansions of the original Nanda and Yashoda in Goloka. They're living in Swargaloka. Yes. So they're not the original. Dara and Drona are not actually the originals. The originals are in Goloka. And no, they're only expansions of them in the material world. And then when Krishna appears, when Nanda and Yashoda appear in the material world, the original Goloka, this is explained by Jiva Goswami, the original Vishwanatha Chakravarti also, the original Nanda and Yashoda appear from Goloka, and the Swargaloka expansions and the Vaikuntha expansions of them merge into them, and they all appear in the same bodies.
It's just for the sake of pastime that they expand? I guess Jona and Dara.
Yeah, it's this pastime of living in the spirit, in the heavenly planets and worshipping Krishna there. It's for the benefit of the Swargaloka devotees, the residents of Swargaloka, that they get to have the association of Krishna's eternal associates by them taking birth in Swargaloka. Vamanadeva himself is there as the younger brother of Indra in Swargaloka. And great devotees are also present in their expansions. So the Swargavasis also get some spiritual association. Okay, let's stop there. Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.